Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those
Hello,
of our
everybody.
Sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys, welcome. It's another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. As always, need a little help from the listeners, the supporters of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. If you're in the chat room right now, give me a mic check. Tell me how I sound. Because if not, I'm going to have to do it. Oh, what up, Fish on Jay? Here, I'll do the mic. It sucks. Oh, God. Be right back. I don't know why this happened. It happens. It happens all the time. Oh, my God. What the hell, man? Seriously. How does that happen? Just to let you know, guys, I did not change a single setting from last night. Now I got to go back and listen to it and make sure it's okay. Let's see here. Let's see how this goes. All right, it's back now. Oh, God damn, man. Yeah, I know. I know. Look, I get it, man. This is just as frustrating as it is for me than it is for you guys every single time. You know, what radio show or what big podcast out there has to get their audience to give a mic check before they even start the show? None of them. I don't know. Maybe that's the appeal. Maybe that's why so many people are loving it. Once again, do yourself a favor. Go there. Yeah, that is better. Joe Dapo says much better. So I had a pretty busy day today. I went over to Orlando to see A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. I was on their show today. I was on their show last week, and they were talking about my love life and stuff and how much, you know, am I getting any? When was the last time I had sex and stuff like that? And they wanted to do a dating game. So I get over there and nobody. I should have known immediately because I didn't see any women. But that's the thing about it. I'm always an hour early for everything. So I got there at 12:30. The appearance wasn't supposed to be until 1:30. So I drove over there. No women showed up at all. No women on Zoom or phone calls. Nobody wanted to do it. Nobody wanted to do it at all. And I know that it's during the middle of the week, but do you realize how much of a blow to your ego it is when they have a dating show, a Tuttle dating game per se? And none of the women, nobody shows up. Nobody at all. What's that say about me, man? It's a little depressing. But I stuck around. And I made the best of it. I stuck around. I sat in on the show. It was a BDM show. And it was fun. Seth Petruzzelli showed up. He's the guy that knocked out Kimbo Slice in the MMA. What up, Eric? How are you, buddy? Yeah, I know. And before I get into more of my, I don't know why I'm sweating like a whore in church today, but also the other thing, I'll get into that first. Let me finish the story. So I was there, I took care of all that, and then I drove home. And Tom then texts me on the 408 right before you get to 50. So I picked up the phone. I was going to return the text. Now, I know that I should not do that because state of Florida is busting a lot of people. They are busting a lot of people for distracted driving. And I wasn't paying attention, but I got pulled over today. I got pulled over, and I'm not going to say what it was. I'm not going to say if it was a city cop, sheriff's office, highway patrol. And I got pulled over. I mean, Fish on J, you probably know where I'm talking about. So if you're going to hop on 50, what up, Nedley Mandingo? Checking in. Fish on J, if you're still in, you know that, like, gas station? So if you're heading towards the coast on 50, right off of the 408, when you're about to hop on there, he lit them up. And I'm always very respectful when I get pulled over. As soon as I get pulled over, I roll the windows down, turn the car off. I also have my license ready, concealed carry. Because a lot of you guys don't know this. Like, even though I did not have it on me, I always hand over my concealed carry permit card and my license. Because just out of respect, the law enforcement officer would not have known because I was driving my dad's old truck. And I don't know if you guys know this because they didn't have any of this in the will or anything like that, who the truck was supposed to go to. But here in the state of Florida, because the truck was still in my dad's name, the only way it had to be put in my mom's name, because then you would have had to have gone into probate court to be able to get it all changed over and stuff. So the truck is in my mom's name because it was very, very easy to do that. But I handed over the concealed carry permit and my license. Now, dead to rights, like, I was not even arguing with the officer. As soon as he walked up, I was like, I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure I know why you pulled me over and stuff. And this cop, I shouldn't say cop. It's, anyways, the officer kept saying, when I told him, I was like, he asked me why. Why were you doing that? And what I told him, I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I don't know why. Maybe I was being lazy or whatever. Why? You can't give me a reason. Why were you doing that? Why? So he went back to check. I mean, he asked me that 3, maybe even 4 times why I was doing it. I don't know, because I'm a dumbass. But it just seemed, because I was starting to get real, I was starting to have a little bit of a panic attack because he kept saying, why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? And I was just like, because I was being lazy. I picked up the phone, shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. I don't, what do you want me to tell you? I didn't say it in like that way. What up, Iggy McGillicuddy? Got some royalty in here. Hold on to me. We'll see. All right. I'm getting all types of problems and stuff. I can't catch a break. Anyways, he kept asking. He went back and looked. And I did get the lower. Iggy McGillicuddy, I don't know why you haven't been. I cannot control it from here. As soon as I get done with the show, I'll make sure that it happens, okay? I will definitely make that happen. What up, Joe the Supermarket? I got you, Iggy. So he came back. I got the introduction ticket, which is like a certain amount of money. I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, sorry, officer, I'll never do it again. And you know what he said? I don't need to hear your promises because people break promises all the time. The next one is going to be over $100. What the fuck? What is that about? What is that about? Like, I was being really, really cool. I was being cool as hell. Eric Fitzpatrick, you should have told the cop it was a work text and your boss would have fired you. No. Iggy, listen, I don't even have login to my Twitch. My producer does. All right, so I guess I got to, man, I can't catch a break. You know what? It's going to have to wait. Iggy, I promise you, I apologize. I will get with my producer and I will have him do it. I'm sorry. I tried to log into it before and I think the password has been changed and stuff. So let me talk to my producer, Vulture, and I will take care of it. I do apologize. But man, that was a bad thing. So I got that ticket. I know that was my own fault. I shouldn't have picked it up. But that was just the whole problem. Like, when things go bad in my life, they go really, really bad. You know, I go over to do a Tuttle dating game. None of the ladies show up. Nobody was interested at all. Well, I mean, Iggy says this. Iggy says the Popo had some wife issues at home. And what can you do there, Iggy? Iggy, you really can't do anything about it because if you talk back, oh, forget about it, man. Your ass is going to be in trouble. So I got home, took care of all that stuff. Last night, I laid down some grass seed because there's a few patches in the grass. Are any of you guys experts? Because some people take a lot of pride in their lawn. People love to work on their lawn and have a pristine lawn. I really didn't worry about it that much at the Hobo Fish Camp. But here, I want my mom to, no, it's not. Okay, I'm going to stop reading, you know, like, I'm trying to read messages as they come in, people, okay? So I don't know what you want me to tell you and stuff. Iggy did two in a row. Yeah, I mean, here, you know what? It's not the Thomas Buckner show either, Joe the Super Mark. Take it to court. Officer has to prove that you were texting. Once again, Thomas. Buck, I played baseball with Thomas Buckner as well, too. He's a great guy. But is it even worth it? It was only a $30 ticket. But I was being cool as hell. I was being cool as hell. And I'm not, and for the most part, people would be like, oh, this is the reason why people hate cops. This is what, just some people, maybe like Tom or Iggy McGillicuddy said that, yeah, I mean, he could have had a bad day with his wife and stuff. I mean, who knows? It just, I don't know, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I was not confrontational. I was not argumentative at all. I was being cool as hell. So I'll just take it. I'll eat it. It's not like it's any points or anything on my license, but he let me go right after that because if you argue with him, things are going to be just worse. For you. Coming up here at 7:30, I got an interview with author Eric Twiggs. The reason I wanted to talk to him, he talks to people about procrastinating and stuff. Procrastinating. You know, I suffer from ADHD, OCD type stuff, and I do procrastinate sometimes. I really, really do. I get squirreled on it. Thomas Buckner says, always comply. I did that. But the officer still has to prove it. Court throws that out. Officers won't even show up, most likely. I don't know. Like I said, it was on me. Eric Fitzpatrick writes, you have to look up the agricultural zone you are in. Then you can find out the recommended grass for that environment. Well, the grass seed that I put down was this like mixture of stuff, but that's also the other thing here. I was out in the middle of the night watering my grass because you can, well, I mean, you're right, Joe, the supermarket, but I do it sometimes because I don't know why. It's just something that I deal with, and I try. If I don't do it right away, it'll never get done. Because I will. I'll come up with excuses on why not to do things. But last night, this place, you're only allowed to water on certain days. But when everything that I read from the research and stuff, when you lay down grass seed and everything and fertilizing it, you pretty much need to water it every single day. I'm not like drenching it and stuff, but I'm also watering because odd and even number addresses in the community that my mom lives, you can't water but a certain amount of days on certain days as well too. That's why I'm doing it at night. All right, man. See you, Buck. Yeah, go Braves. I need to catch up and see what they're doing. So I got this interview with author Eric Twiggs. Twiggs with two G's. Going to have him on because I think that'll be interesting. A lot of people were bitching about the recorded interview last night. You guys have all got to realize that doing the show at this time of the day makes it a little bit difficult because sometimes I really, really do have to record some of these interviews. And last night's show got a lot of views, but I was also getting a lot of hate last night because of the recorded interview. People were just like, hey, I tried to call in, tried to do this, I tried to do that, and they weren't liking it. I thought last night's interview was great. Let's see, I got to go on my YouTube channel and I got to change some stuff around and make it private. Because once again, I'm not trying to complain when it comes to stuff. But Jesus Christ almighty, man. Can't catch a break. And I'm not complaining about my producer, Vulture. It's just maybe I'm not doing something right. I need to just figure it out. And I will. I'll get this thing down pat. I did want to play this one interview for you. I tweeted this out for everybody. Did you guys see that? I don't know. I know that you can't do this, but man, oh man, because I've worked with some iron workers before. I worked with some iron workers that before lunch, they could not weld a straight line because they were shaking. And I don't know how many of you guys have ever been around a true alcoholic and stuff. But if a true alcoholic is just fiending for beer and stuff, they're going to shake. And when they went to lunch, you could tell that they had a few, like, lunchtime beers and stuff. Because they would come back after lunch and they could weld the straightest of lines. They were also really, really weird. They were from Alabama. Those guys never wore a welding helmet at all. Never wore a welding helmet. They would just lather just suntan lotion all over their face and stuff. And they would just do it all day. I would love to see what type of shape those guys' eyes are. Because I've gotten flash burned from welding. And it's not good. It's not good at all. But this bus driver that was driving some students to a field trip and stuff, he got caught. He got caught with a roadie. And if you guys don't know what a roadie is, one of the tall boys or could be a regular beer in the brown paper bag and stuff. But this guy, he got caught on this field trip. Some of the students narked him out and stuff, which I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you can't let a bus driver be drinking, but also on the other point, you got to look at this. This is why I brought up those iron workers and stuff. I bet this guy actually drove better. Well, hey, no, Eric, I'm not bullshitting you. I wish my dad was still alive. My dad that's why I said nobody else did it. These guys did. Eric Fitzpatrick, Tutty, I call BS on a welding company. You can't weld without a helmet. I'm telling you right now, it did happen. I wish my dad was still alive so he could tell you. I don't know why I would invoke my dad's name over that, but it is the truth. It's the God honest truth. I don't know why, but you also got, these guys were extreme alcoholics, so it's not like they made smart decisions. So let's get in the story of the bus driver on a field trip got busted with a roadie.
This bus driver has been arrested and fired after police say he drove impaired with a bus full of elementary students.
Everybody's working together to put this case together for the Brown County District Attorney.
Tonight, a timeline of when those on the bus...
I love the music and stuff. Like, when you get a story like this where they are actually just... this is like, oh my God, a bus driver. And I'm telling you right now, I bet this bus driver actually drove better with a roadie, a beer roadie, a roadie beer, whatever you want to call it.
Discovered something was off and how the school district and bus company.
Yeah. The Mickey Tallboy. Yep, you're right. Nelly Mandingo says the Mickey grenades are the easiest to conceal for a road dog. Exactly. Thank you. It's the truth.
Responded.
It's really scary that it just happened in general.
Oh my God.
Makes a lot of parents really
nervous.
I
don't know.
Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. Lincoln Elementary School parents in Green Bay were notified of the incident in a letter from the district last night. Fourth and fifth grade students were on a field trip to Madison to visit the state capitol and the Henry Vilas Zoo.
Okay. All right. So how old are you in the fourth and fifth grade? Also, at the same time, we kind of need to find out what their parents, these kids' parents are up to. Are their parents driving around with roadies between their legs while they're driving the kids to school? Because how did they know? Did any of you guys in fourth and fifth grade know what a road dog or a road or a roadie beer was?
Fox 11's Ben Krumholz tells us what happened.
A fifth grade student at Lincoln Elementary says she could tell something was going on during the drive back to school after a field trip to Madison.
And most of the teachers were standing.
All right. Iggy McGillit. Oh, man. How are you feeling, Iggy? Number one Canadian listener just posted in the chat, I tested positive for COVID today. It finally hit me. Let me know if you need anything, Iggy. Sorry to hear that.
Up and walking back and forth.
Why are they interviewing a little kid? This kid does not sound like she knows anything about alcoholic beverages and stuff.
Fox 11 spoke with the student outside of school with her parent providing us permission if we agreed not to identify her. The student says the driver had a large cooler next to him on the bus.
Okay, I mean, bus drivers bring their lunch and stuff. I mean, come on. I don't know. Let's hear the rest of this.
I didn't think much of it until I heard what happened.
Letter to parents says teachers on the bus notified the district after a student noticed.
Whatever. That's a kid. So this kid did not even like witness it or tell anybody, and they're interviewing this kid. Of course, this kid wants to be the cool one in her class and stuff.
The can leaking under the bus driver's seat. A district spokesperson says that happened near Rosendale. District says it contacted Lamers bus lines, asking them to initiate their safety protocols. Lamers explained the bus might not have been properly cleaned out after a prior.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. There you go right there. Like, what's going on with that? Why? I'm sure that these bus drivers drive different buses all the time. How do you know that this wasn't left over?
Use. Bus company asked the district to have teachers try to smell the driver for alcohol or any signs of impairment, but the district says they didn't notice anything. However, 15 minutes away from school, the district says the can was confirmed to be beer.
The police department really relies on the safety protocols of the organizations we work with. And if Lamers has safety protocols that they implement, we just hope that they do.
A school district spokesperson says it would have been up to Lamers to have the bus stop before reaching school. District plans to review safety protocols with Lamers. Once the bus arrived...
Lamers? Hold the phone. Lamers? I mean...
Stop before reaching...
Wow. That's got to be the worst name. Is it the name of the school or the county?
Protocols that they implement, we just hope that they do.
A school district spokesperson says it would have been up to Lamers to have the bus stop before reaching school. The district plans to review safety protocols with Lamers. Once the
Oh, my God. Hey, do you see that kid? He's a Lamer. How many, like, kids from other cities or, like, other counties? Because I don't know if it's the city or the county. How many of them they get beat up because, hey, there's a Lamer walking down the street. Let's beat the shit out of him.
Bus arrived to Lincoln. Police say the driver's blood alcohol level tested above the legal limit, which is 0.04 for a commercial motorized.
Okay, all right. So let's you know, once again, not a parent, so I really have no say in this. But also at the same time, some people get a Nelly Mandingo writes, at least the Lamers beat the jobbers. I mean, touche, there you go. But some people do their jobs better, just like some people do their jobs better high. Smoking a joint or being high on some weed. Back to those iron workers from Alabama that wouldn't wear a mask and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I know at my worst, my alcoholism, my tolerance was way better than anybody else. But you gotta have a number. You do have to have a number. But if it was just one beer, but I don't know. Like, I mean, the guy might be a lightweight if it was one beer to get him over the legal limit.
Vehicle.
From the police perspective, we are there to make sure that people are safe and hold people accountable.
The school district and Lamers declined interview requests, but in a statement, Lamers says its staff and a supervisor interacted with the driver as they typically do. And did not observe any impairment before the driver departed on the
exactly
the trip.
So I guess that's something that we'll all think about next time. Anytime the kids look at this, Karen.
They talk about people in the South having bad. Oh man,
field trip. You look at the slip and oh, dude, look. I mean, I don't have perfect teeth. Picking them up. I mean, that's huge.
The driver is expected to make an initial appearance in Brown County Court on Wednesday. In Green Bay, Ben Crumples. Fox 11.
This is a bunch of Aaron Rodgers marks probably up there. Ugh. Poor guy. I mean, look, everybody thinks that they're good with just one and stuff, but, I mean, you just can't do it. You really cannot do it. All right, I'm going to play this one quick story before my guest comes on. Should be in a few minutes. This guy right here is the man. And I would like to hear from you guys. You can call into the show 407-270-3044. I don't know. How would you guys want to go out if you were on death row? Because this guy was like, you know what? I'm going to just put my balls right on the table, and I'm just going to tell people, look, I want the firing squad.
Breaking news at noon, the upstate prisoner scheduled to be executed later this month has chosen to die by firing squad.
What? I mean, all right, there's a chance that somebody could miss. Also, at the same time, I think that they do like five people. And I think only one or two has a bullet, but nobody actually really, really knows who has a loaded gun. But this guy wants to die by firing squad. And don't they shoot in the chest? They don't go like for a headshot or a head kill or anything. Because if I go firing squad, they should give you the choice. You want a headshot or you want a just an abdomen shot or just a trunk shot. Because, I mean, there is a chance that they could miss. Oh, got my guest coming on. Let me play this real quick. Hold on.
Court documents filed today listing Richard.
Hey, Eric, are you there, man?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Eric. Hey, hold on 1 second. I'm playing this guy. All right, so, I mean, you seem like a nice guy and everything, but I don't want to say like you would. But, like, what would you pick? Like, if you were had to die by execution, this guy was like, you know what? I'm not going to – well, you talk about procrastination and stuff. He was like, I don't want to procrastinate. He just chose the firing squad. And I don't know. Like, the guy went down – they haven't done it yet.
29th execution.
I would be kind of worried they would miss, wouldn't you, Eric?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I heard about that on on the news. So he chose the death by firing squad.
Yeah, he did. I think he had lethal injection or firing squad, and he was just like, give it to me, firing squad. All right, this story's almost over with, and I'll get to the interview. Hold on. Stand by, Eric.
While another court considers whether the state's capital punishment methods are constitutional, a state law that went into effect last year set electrocution as the default method.
Oh, so it was electrocution. All right, let me get rid of this. I'm more interested in talking to Eric here. Eric, how are you, buddy?
Fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I'm very interested in speaking with you, but before we get into the interview and all my questions and stuff, can you, because I like to let my guests kind of have the floor, because you know what, where to find your book, website, any of that stuff. But before we get into the interview, tell the supporters of my show a little bit about yourself and where they can find out any of your content.
Yeah, so I'm Eric Twiggs. I'm your procrastination prevention partner. I'm the author of The Discipline of Now, 12 Practical Principles to Overcome
Procrastination. That's a good book. Did you design the book cover, or did you have somebody do it for you?
So I went through this thing called 99 Designs, and you know, I did work with like a book coach, and so the book coach I had a design in mind, and he told me it was terrible. I should think about something else. This is my book, The Discipline of Now.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to procrastinate you there. I'm procrastinating your plugs at the beginning of the interview. So I'll give you the floor. Sorry.
So I'm the author of The Discipline of Now, and I'm the host of the 30-Minute Hour podcast, and I help entrepreneurs and executive leaders to ditch their excuses to beat procrastination so they can make more money, get more done, and feel more confident. For more information, you can visit my website. It's ericmtwiggs.com, where you can pick up the book, The Discipline of Now. It's in paperback, ebook, and audio form.
Did you voice the audio book?
I did.
I've helped record a couple of them. How long did it take? Because sometimes can be a long process, and you got to keep up with the audio and stuff like that. How was that process?
It was long. Yeah, it was. I like if I did it again, I don't think it would take as long, just with knowing what I know. But it was, oh man, it was a couple of months. But I was doing like just Saturdays and Sundays. Mm. But it was a lot harder than I thought it would be. Eric, you don't think about like every word counts.
Yeah, it does. And the way you say it as well, too. You know, it really, really does. Now, Eric, before we get, because I suffer from ADHD and stuff, and, you know, like I've been diagnosed with it. And sometimes I do procrastinate. But what are some of the biggest reasons? What are some of would you call them reasons or excuses?
Well, I think there's underlying causes. That's what I would call it. So the number one underlying cause is discomfort, right? There's something you're not comfortable with as it relates to the task at hand. That's usually why we procrastinate. Now, it could be as simple as you just don't like doing it, right? It's called task aversion. They're like, I don't like doing my taxes, so I'm going to put it off as long as I possibly can.
But it has to be done, though. It's got to be done.
Absolutely. Yeah. But just because it has to be done doesn't mean that you have to do it.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of the things people miss. And so it's about awareness. So so one of the things, you just don't like the task. A common reason that people procrastinate is fear. That's right up there. That's right near the top of the list. Fear of success, fear of failure, fear of the unknown. You also have fear of criticism, which is a big reason, like especially if you're doing a presentation or you're writing a book, you're afraid people aren't going to like it, so you put it off. But there's usually some type of discomfort that's at the root of procrastination.
Eric, you're down to take any questions from people, because I got people in the chat room that I can put up on the screen that you can read and I can read to you. But so where did you learn all this stuff? I mean, were you a non-procrastinator at a very young age? Was your mom or your dad on your ass and stuff? Or like, how did you become somebody that does not procrastinate?
So it started for me in college, right? It was my, I talk about this in the book. It was my senior year at Hampton University. I'm having a conversation with my good friend Donnell. At the time, he and I were different. He was all about his purpose and I was all about the party. He would always give me a hard time. Eric, you need to get serious, figure out what you want to do. And I'm like, man, Donnell, loosen up. Are you coming to the frat party with me or not? And so several weeks go by, I don't talk to Donnell. And then I get a phone call from his mother telling me that he was killed in a car accident.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Man, that sucks.
Changed everything for me. It sent a message to me that maybe I don't have the time that I think to do the things that I want to do. And from that moment on, I've been thinking about how I'm spending time, being as productive as possible, avoiding procrastination. And that's really where it started.
So what did you go to school for? You were talking like, I mean, were you an author? Did you like a writer? Like, what were you wanting to do?
Well, marketing was my major in college. Mm-hmm. And I figured that I would be, at one point I thought I was going to be this big marketing executive.
Yeah.
But really the bottom line, and part of the reason I procrastinated in those days, because I really wasn't clear. And I, one of the things I always say is that clarity is the starting point of success. And I lacked a level of clarity. I don't think I really knew specifically what my purpose and my calling was. I was focused on income and making money.
All right, now, all right, I know we're getting off a little topic here, but making the income and the money, was it to impress the ladies? I mean, that's where a lot of guys do. They go into and they'll be like, all right, I gotta make, what are the things that the ladies like? They like a well-dressed man. You get that with money and being successful and stuff. What was your driving point? Like, what drove you on that path before you became a non-procrastinator?
So it was the idea of being successful. Yeah. Right. You know, you're taught, you go to school, you get your education, you get a job, you make money. And so like one of the lessons that I took away initially, I said, you know what? Time is precious. So I need to become successful. I've got to climb the corporate ladder. And I got to a point where you could argue that I'd achieved success. Mm-hmm. Right. I had in my career, I had 17 locations. I was a district manager in the automotive industry.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I was making great money. But I remember one day I'm sitting in my car and I get to the light and I remember the eyes in the rearview mirror that were looking at me were the eyes of someone who hated what he was doing. And so that kind of sent me a message that it's not just about income. What about impact?
Hey, doing something you like doing, a job that you like, does that make not being a procrastinator easier?
Yes. I think so. Yeah, if you like what you're doing, if you have a passion for it, especially if you feel like it's aligned with your calling, you're going to be less likely. So, for example, I remember those days, I would hit the snooze button all the time. The alarm would go off, I would just hit the snooze button. But like now, and you fast forward to today, I can wake up at 4:30 in the morning without an alarm.
Yeah. Because
I look forward to doing what I do.
Now, I mean, you don't have to, I just want to, so your person, you got a family, wife, kids, all that stuff. Like, so how, like, I mean, this had to be amazing for your wife and stuff, like having a husband that doesn't procrastinate and stuff, but does she ever have to get on your ass or whatever? Like, oh yeah, you know, you're not taking to this, you're procrastinating.
Right. So here's what's interesting, right? A lot of this is context based. Contextual. So you can be like, I know people who are on it when it comes to work and their business, but then when it comes to household tasks, they tend to slack. So here's my challenge, right? Mm-hmm. So my thing is like a lot of times when I'm home, I'm in recovery mode, right? I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, I need to kind of rest up for, you know,
the next week.
I do a presentation, I've got a podcast, I got this, I've got that. But for the wife and kids, they're like, no, we don't need you to be in recovery mode. We need homework checked. Your trash needs to go out. So certainly, again, I have to be aware, because if not, yeah, I'll procrastinate on household tasks.
Do you have to write yourself notes and reminders sometimes, or is that not using your time wisely? You know, because sometimes, oh, you have a main task that you're focused on, but you know, in the perfect life, we just don't have one task that we have to concentrate on. How do you balance it out easily or evenly?
So what I do is I have something that I have my top five every day. So what I, at the end of my day, so like, for example, when we're done with this podcast, I'm going to write down the five critical things that I need to get done for tomorrow. And these are my priorities. So my goal every day is to make sure that I'm checking off the major items that I have to get done for the day.
How do you not get overwhelmed, though? Because you brought up the number five, but, you know, in a perfect world, we wish that we only had five things that we had to take care of. Like, how do you decide in what order or the importance of how things need to get done?
So it helps to have clarity as a starting point of success. So if I'm working with someone and I'm coaching them through this process, we would start with, okay, what are your five-year goals? This is what we would start with. What do you want to accomplish 5 years from now? Where do you want to be? And then we would walk it back and say, okay, what are the 12-week steps? So what are the 12-week goals that are going to get you to 5-year goal? And then from there, we would say, what do you need to do on a daily? What are some of the things you need to do every day that are going to lead to the goal? So the things you're doing, for me, for example, if it's a Wednesday, I'm working on a blog post. I need to follow up with a business contact. So they're not like huge things, but they're all things that are going to move me forward as it relates to what my goals are.
Doing what I've been doing. You know, I've worked in radio for like over 20 years and stuff. And there's some days where I procrastinate and I'll give you an example. Like tonight, I got pretty good numbers coming in right now, but I know for a fact, I already know myself that the next day I'm going to be like, why am I still doing this? Like, why am I, and maybe this, you know, fits under like a different type of thing, but like I get down on myself and I'll procrastinate on stuff when I do love what I do and stuff, but I'm just like, why am I doing this? Like, I love it. And I don't want you to think that, but like in my case, I do kind of get down and I will procrastinate. Like, I have doubt. Does doubt create procrastination?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So one of the things I have people do is they start a win log. You have to focus on your wins. Mm-hmm. You have to, for me, because it's easy, like you said, it's easy to get down. We all have those days, those things that happen. So I'm constantly staying on top of the things that are going well, right? So and that just builds your confidence. So if I said, okay, tell me everything that went wrong yesterday.
Oh,
it's like, oh my goodness, yeah, this happened, that happened, this happened. But if I say, okay, tell me about your wins. Well, what? Huh?
Man.
We're not wired to think about the positive. We're wired to focus on the negative. So if you get in the habit of focus, like I tell people, the more you write your wins down, the more wins you'll have to write down. And when you start doing that, you'll find that the doubt doesn't creep in as much. Because that's a key thing. You will procrastinate more if you're pessimistic.
Now, okay, so I got to add, you got kids, Eric?
I do.
I got to tell you, you got to be a great dad. I know that because like, but I mean, your kids, they probably like, man, I'll take out the garbage tomorrow morning, you know, when I could take it out the night and stuff. Like, I mean, were they always good or like, how do you instill that? Like without like being too hard on them when it comes to stuff like that?
Well, I think the first thing is just leading by example. I think you have to just make sure you're modeling the things that you want, because that's they're going to do more what you do than what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And then second thing, I think you do need to, it's reward for my kids, rewards and consequences.
Yeah.
So I provide certain consequences, like taking away electronic devices. That makes it. The threat of losing those electronic devices motivates them to do certain things. So.
How much does social media and electronics keep people procrastinating in their lives? Like, as technology changes, distractions, stuff like that, Is that something that does make people procrastinate?
For sure. It's a distraction. So what happens is, when we said earlier, a lot of times people are feeling fear. So you're feeling anxiety. So we're quite often, let's say you've got a presentation to do. You feel anxious about it. So you're looking for relief. And a lot of times you can go to social media to get that relief.
Find out what everybody else is doing. Let's find out what Johnny Depp said on the stand today against Amber Heard, or Trump walked off of an interview tonight, or, you know, what's going on in Ukraine, or, you know, just any of that stuff, or, you know, oh man, I can't believe Will smacked Chris Rock and stuff. You know, Will didn't procrastinate on that one, did he? He was like, I'm taking care of this right now. I'm not going to wait until tomorrow. But, there is a lot of distractions. The media can be a distraction. I don't know, relationships, you know, marriages, anything like that. What are some of the smaller things that people don't think about that causes people to procrastinate?
Well, so the bottom line is not being clear on what you want and what your goals are. And if you aren't clear, everything sounds like a good idea, right? So a lot of times people have a hard time saying no to certain requests because they're not really clear on what their yes is. So what becomes a distraction is now you're president of the PTA, you're the vice president of the homeowners association, you're doing all of these things, you're singing in the choir.
Is it about respecting your own, or having people standing up and making people respect your own personal time? You know, because a lot of people, I've been guilty of this, when I'm busy and somebody may need something or may need help on something that's a friend or just an acquaintance, and you'll be like, oh man, I got to help this person out. Having to tell people no sometimes.
Yeah, people struggle with that, but you're not saying no to the person, you're saying no to the request. And what people don't realize is that you think it's damaging relationship, but it actually creates a level of respect, because you respect people to have boundaries that tell you their boundaries. I just think that that's so important. But again, if you're clear on where you're trying to go and what you're trying to accomplish, that becomes a lot easier for you to create those boundaries.
What are some of the things, because, you know, we were like, oh man, this guy wrote a book about it, he never procrastinates. What are some of the things recently in your life that you're like, oh man, I'm procrastinating on this?
I don't like doing little tedious things.
Oh, you don't? Okay, I got you.
Like the, you know, mileage expense, you log in mileage.
I got you. Yeah.
Just those little. So, you know what I've done? I have a virtual assistant who can handle a lot of those things. Even, you know, I have a podcast, the 30-minute hour, and just a lot of the details with the scheduling and the. At one point, I was just doing all that myself. Where now, she handles that. So a lot of those, just those little time-consuming things that need to be done, it'll be easy for me to procrastinate.
But also, so you're talking about not procrastinating, but even though you may be busy and some things need to be done, back to the family and stuff, are there things where you have to take personal time? You said you need those rest days. Are they important? Like, do people procrastinate burning a time out every once in a while? Like, I can't do it. I'm too busy.
Yeah, I think rest is critical, because, you know, we're in a culture now where it's just about, oh, you got to grind. If you're a loser, if you don't wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, Steve Harvey says that all the time. And I'm like, you know, I see Steve Harvey is like, man, you're sleeping a quarter of your day, a third of your day every day. And it's like, you don't need 8 hours. You can do on six. And I'm like, no, man, sometimes it's, you need that to be able to function properly.
I think recovery is critical. I think you have to factor in recovery to your plan. Like, make sure you're getting the right sleep, you know, make sure you've got the right morning routines. And I think that rest is really what makes you better.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, but sometimes though, you know, when you don't want to procrastinate, you're coming up with a game plan of thing. All right, this is what I got to do. Sometimes it can be hard to shut that brain off though.
Yeah, but you, and look, I get it because my natural tendency is just to keep working. I can just keep going. But what happens is you start to feel it. You feel it. You feel that burnout, and you're not as effective if you're always going. There's a reason that LeBron James is still playing, because he
takes care of himself.
Yeah, he spends $1 million a year just on recovery.
Man.
He's got somebody that fixes him a special shake. He sleeps in a special type of bed. He takes naps. That's why he's who he is and is able to do what he does, what he's done for so long. And I think, I don't think that's talked about enough, how important it is to get the rest and the set time aside.
Yeah, Eric, what part of the country are you do you live in? Where are you calling me from?
So I'm in the Washington, D.C. area, the D.C. metro area.
Oh, okay. Metro. So do you actually live in D.C., though? Like,
I'm 20 minutes. I'm 20 minutes from the city. I'm at Clinton, Maryland is the name of my area. So we're 20 minutes from D.C.
Man, I know that I'm getting way off topic on this one, but I had watched bits and pieces of the show, but like I had some downtime. I wasn't procrastinating on my other stuff, but sometimes it's good to have something you're into. I just finally finished watching The Wire up in that area, and I got to tell you, I know that the areas around there could be a little. Is it gotten really, really good? Much better, because everybody used to say that Maryland, Baltimore area was kind of bad, and I know like shows and stuff kind of overhype stuff, but man, that was such a great show. I loved it.
Yes, I mean Baltimore, that's like an hour or so away from where I am.
Yeah,
but no, it's still just as bad as it.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So what are some of the hobbies you have to, you seem like the type of guy is just work, take care of things, be all business. But what are the things you do to kind of just relieve stress?
Exercise. Now that's a big thing. I mean, I love getting cardio, lifting the weights.
Oh yeah, what are you benching? I think you're throwing up like 300 on the bench and stuff. 300 maybe.
I don't even do a lot of bench press. Oh, I'll do push-ups, but then I'll do like the curl machine. Mm. And I'll do like the shoulders.
Are you playing any sports in school?
I ran track. I ran track in high school.
What was your event?
200.
Oh, the 200. I mean, that right there is a little bit more endurance, but you still got to be quick as hell and everything, man. Well, Eric, I really did enjoy this interview and stuff. And I really do. I need to get a chance. I need to go and get that audio book so I can listen to it, because I can only imagine that it's really well produced, and I bet a lot of the ladies are buying it too. They're like, man, I gotta listen to author Eric Twiggs there. He's got that voice, kind of deep. He knows what he's talking about. So I bet it's very popular with the ladies and stuff.
Well, it's popular with the lady in this house.
So, I mean, did your wife, like, did she listen to it? That, like, did she like give you any critiques or whatever? It was like, I would have read it this way, or nah, honey, I really love that. It was great.
Now, you know what? The funny, like, she critiqued the written copy.
Oh, she did? Oh.
Yeah, she pointed out things that I had missed, and so she was a big help along those lines. She listened to the audio. She didn't really give me a whole lot of critiques on it.
Have you ever done, in like, any appearances and stuff, and, like, any of the ladies out there, and your wife is there, and be like, oh, Eric, man, Mr. Eric Twiggs, I loved it. I got the audio book, fall asleep through it every single night, Eric. And does she shoot you in the eye and stuff? Like, oh yeah, I see what's going on. No.
No, I don't think I've experienced that.
No book groupies and stuff. I can only imagine. They're like, oh Eric, can you sign my book for me? Don't procrastinate. Come over here and do it. I could easily see that.
Oh, well, I'm not going to comment on that at this time.
I'm sorry, Eric. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there.
You're trying to get me in trouble here.
No, I'm not trying to get you in trouble, man. Look, I can't grow. I've always been trying to grow a mustache, and you do got a badass mustache there. I mean, that's like on some Sam Elliott level, man. Sam Elliott had one of the best mustaches. Well, talking about him like he's dead and stuff. He still has one of the best mustaches out there. But, Eric, I really did enjoy this interview. Tell my audience once again before you go how they can check out your book and find it.
Absolutely. They can go to ericmtwigs.com, E-R-I-C-M-Twigs, T-W-I-G-G-S.com. Get your copy of The Discipline of Now.
And the podcast.
Practical Principles to Overcome Procrastination. And the podcast, yes. The podcast is the 30-minute hour. You can get there on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, any of those types of places you like to listen to podcasts.
One of my supporters said, Tuttle trying to get heat, get wife heat. So, like, you know, like I'm trying to stir up stuff. I'm not trying to stir up any stuff. But I'm just saying, man, like I can be honest. I bet there, if there were book groupies, you would definitely have them. So I'm just saying, but you're a good man. You don't procrastinate on that type of stuff. You know,
so this is an episode I won't be sharing with the missus.
Oh, come on. Listen, I'm kind of like telling, I'm like, man, I'm not saying anything. I didn't say that you would go for it, but I mean, it would just be like, oh man. Yeah, I got, my man loves me. He ain't going nowhere. He's loyal as hell, but he's got a lot of ladies that are looking his way. I mean, come on. He doesn't procrastinate. And that probably is a turn on for some women. You got to admit that, right? Because a lot of guys do procrastinate. And sometimes, it's got to be like my marriage would have lasted longer if I wouldn't have procrastinated and stuff. So maybe you know what? You might have the perfect marriage, Eric.
Yeah, she's great.
All right. All right. I'm not gonna keep asking any questions because I don't want to get you in trouble. But Eric Twiggs, thank you so much, my friend. I hope you have a great night, okay?
Hey, thank you.
All right, man.
This was awesome.
All right, man. Bye. All right. So yes, you are listening to the he wasn't giving me anything. I'm gonna get my ass and go clean my truck. Thanks, guys. Anyways, yeah, I'm getting out of here as well, too. It's been a long day. I'm going to finish out the week strong Thursday and Friday. Got some great shows planned. Hope you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.